I'm glad you're here to hear this message. We are so honored to have with us this morning Pastor Kevin Adams, right over here. He's a dear friend of ours, and he surprised us this morning. He came to receive ministry, so I'm not going to ask him to preach, but I could have handed him the microphone this morning. Hallelujah. But we've been friends for years. He and his wife, Joanne, had a church right here in Elkhart, and they moved it over to South Bend. Is that right? And he is on the mountain of education, him and his wife. They are working in that mountain and making a difference in our school system. So we love and appreciate them. And so honored to have him here this morning. So does everyone have their card for this morning? The bookmark? The bookmarks were all ready to be brought in to the auditorium. So where are they, please? We hand out our bookmarks the first Sunday of the month. So while we're waiting, we can go ahead and read our proclamation. The bookmark is, oh, I guess you're not going to be able to see that. Can you see that? Can you read that? Oh, we have good eyes, don't we? Yes. You can't see that? Okay, so those of you who can't see it, you're just going to have to listen to us because the bookmarks are on the way. And this is a declaration. We're going to talk a little bit about depression. Depression is real. People struggle with depression. They're not sinners because they're depressed. And so we have so many thoughts about mental health difficulties and just recognizing what the Bible says about it. Once again, we're going to go to the Word of God and let's see what the Bible says. Derek Prince wrote this declaration, so let's read it. God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to your word, I'm asking you to deliver me from this spirit of heaviness. Thank you, Lord, that all things work together for good in my life because I love you and I am called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name, I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I put on as a helmet the hope of salvation. Now may the God of hope fill me with all joy and peace in believing that I may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide me into all truth and deliver me from all the lies of the evil one. I will not be conformed to this world, but I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. And this proclamation is on the front of the bookmark. And then Derek Prince's testimony is on the back. He struggled with depression for many years. And he shares about how God delivered him from that. So as they're handing those out, can you listen while they're handing out at the same time? All right. So sadness and grief are normal human emotions. We all have those feelings from time to time, but, you know, they usually go away in just a few days. You know, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:4, there's a time to weep and there's a time to mourn. And so as human beings, as the human race, at different times, we may feel depressed. Depression can be, though, a deeper level of emotional turmoil and can affect people in many ways. And so according to research, nearly one person in five will experience significant and persistent levels of depression. Mental health illness is more prevalent in our culture than it ever has been. It's affecting the young as well as the old. The further our culture moves away from God and His standards, the more difficulties we're going to have mentally. So significant and persistent depression causes people to miss more work, get this, than diabetes and heart disease, as well as being a major risk factor after heart attacks and strokes. Depression affects individuals, families, coworkers, and others who are in regular contact with the depressed person. Depression is a serious concern for many people. Major depression or major depressive disorder is something more. And that's a diagnosable condition that's classified as a mood disorder and can bring about long-lasting symptoms such as overwhelming sadness, low energy, loss of appetite, and a lack of interest in things that bring pleasure. And when depression is left unheeded or untreated, it can actually lead to serious health complications as well as putting your life at risk. Unfortunately, we have effective treatments for depression through options like therapy and medication, diet and exercise. But the aspect that I bring into it as a biblical counselor, I bring in an aspect of how does the Word of God minister to our soul, which is our mind, will, and our emotions. And this is where we carry around that spirit of heaviness and that spirit of depression, because God's Word is the change agent that affects our soul. God created us. He knows what we need. God's Word is spirit and God's Word is life. And whether you feel like it or not, if you'll listen to God's Word, if you'll read God's Word, it will affect a change in your life. You might not feel it, but it's not about our feelings. It is about changing our belief systems, because what we believe is what we think about, and what we think about is what causes us to have these emotional breakdowns. So we are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. And our soul has to be taken care of. And Jesus Christ is the lover of your soul. Did you know that? He loves you. He loves you in your worst temper tantrum. God loves you. Aren't you so glad? So the soul is actually the pivotal part between the body and the spirit. Because either the soul, your mind, will, and emotion is going to come into submission and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and God's eternal word, or you're going to do your own thing. Your choice. God gives us a choice. But if we allow him, he will transform our soul to the point that we will no longer give in to the desires of the flesh. As our culture takes up more and more drugs and is involved more and more in that, we watched a news story this morning of a mom who took heroin while she was driving with her three children in the car and ended up in an accident, and a 12-year-old was the one that called 911 to get their mom help. And I said, how sad that a person would be in that condition with their children. You know, God is watching America, and because we are not turning to God, we turn to everything else to satisfy our soul. It is our soul and our flesh that has all these cravings. But it is your mind, will, and emotions that must be fortified and your mind renewed so that you can say no to those things and yes to what you know is right. And it is a journey. It doesn't happen overnight, does it, Vicki? No. No, Vicki and I have worked together for years because of the struggles she's had. And she's talked about her struggles here in public. And you know what? God answers her prayer, and she knows what to do when she feels a panic attack coming. She knows what to do when the voice of OCD starts talking to her, because she has trained her soul to recognize what is God, what is demonic, and what is the disease that's trying to run her and ruin her life. She knows. And she reaches out for help. You know, most of the time, proud people won't reach out for help. Is that right? God wants us to reach out to Him, to cry to Him for our help. Psalm 42:11 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why so disturbed within me?" Now, this is the psalmist David, and he's talking about being very depressed. Why are you so depressed, O my soul? And why are you so disturbed? And then he says, he must be talking to himself. Hope in God. You know, sometimes you got to talk to yourself. I'm going to hope in God. I'm not going to listen to this mess. I'm going to hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. God helps our countenance, our look, the look about us. You know, praise actually looks good on you. When you praise the Lord, it looks good on you, and eventually you'll start to feel better. So God has given us a remedy for depression. Here are some definitions of depression. It comes from the Latin word depressus, to press down. B, it's a condition being pressed down to a lower position footprint. C, a state of decline and reduced activity, like an economic depression. D, psychological depression is a state in which the heart is pressed down and unable to experience joy. And see, the scripture says the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you can't experience joy emotionally, you're not going to have any strength. E, depression is an umbrella word which covers feelings from mild discouragement to intense despair. And F, depression is a condition which involves the whole person physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So we're going to talk a little bit about types of depression and what the scripture says about those types of depression that's been described. And the reason we're learning this, I know there are people sitting in this congregation that struggle with depression. We also realize the holidays are coming. And for some people, it is the most depressed time in their life when holidays come around. And so God is teaching us how to help others as well as help ourselves. Amen? All right, so normal depression, that's something we all get. It's involuntary, and it's an involuntary emotion, reaction to loss. It is substitutional or reactive depression. The normal, everyday problems of life, such as rejection, failure, illness, the loss of a loved one, the traditional seasons of life, are empty nest syndrome, menopause, adolescence, can just bring on normal depression. So we're going to read a scripture in Nehemiah. And Nehemiah had this normal depression. Nehemiah 2, 2 through 3, before we read it, I just want to share something. Nehemiah had gotten a report that the land of his forefathers was in ruins and that it had been burned and that it needed to be rebuilt. And he was so sorrowful when he got this report. Nehemiah was an amazing servant to the king. He was the cupbearer to the king. Nehemiah is what you would call a servant leader. He not only served, but he knew how to lead and motivate people and get them involved using the gifts that God had given him. But he was distraught over his father's land, over Jerusalem. And he was sick, and he cried, and he prayed, and he cried, and he prayed. And he went before the king one day, and this is where we're picking up the story, with a long face. And that was not allowed. You had to be happy in front of the king. You couldn't go sorrowful before the king. And just the idea that his countenance was so low could have gotten him killed with the king. But Nehemiah was so distraught. And you know what? God had given him a plan to rebuild that city. And so the king noticed it. So the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, though you're not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart." Then Nehemiah says, "I was very much afraid. I said to the king, 'Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire?'" And as you go on and read the story in Nehemiah, you find out that the king was gracious to him. God had to have turned the heart of that king. Because you know what? Whatever God has called you to do, whatever God purposes in your heart to do, God has already has the people and the provision for you to accomplish that when you step out and say, "This is the need that I have. This is what God's put in my heart." And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. And the king was ready to help him. The queen wanted to know how long he'd be gone. He must have been a good cupbearer. You know, you'd want somebody tasting your husband's drink before he drank it, just in case someone had poisoned it. That was Nehemiah's job. She wanted to know how long he'd be gone. And then you know what? The king began to provide for him. He provided for him to go. So back to depression is what we're talking about, but I wanted to come alive for you in the scripture. So Nehemiah, important job, servant leader, amazing the things that he was able to accomplish by rebuilding the wall and rallying families together to do that. But there was a time where he had, with this just this normal depression, you can begin to have self-doubt. You can begin to toss things back and forth like, is there any reason why I should even try? Often irritability, diminished joy, worry and fear. Often have trouble sleeping. Have trouble with your appetite, loss of appetite. The activity pattern gets all upset. But at this stage, there's like no death threat. There's no threats of committing suicide. But we can see all of those things. If you'd read your chapter, Nehemiah experienced these things in chapter 1. But the Lord provided a way for him to go and to rebuild and restore the gates. And you see, as he stepped out and accomplished his mission, what God had sent him on, his joy was restored. He had some battles, do you remember? The enemy come against him again, sent men in to give him threats and accusations. That happens, right? But Nehemiah stood strong. And he stood the test, and the walls were rebuilt. So let's go on and look at the next one. The next one is mask depression. And that is a time of burying the emotional conflict. It's a hidden depression. True feelings are denied or covered up. Relief from pain is found in self-effort or excessive activity. And we can actually see this mass depression in Adam and Eve in the garden. And so we are going to read in Genesis, but before we read the verses on the screen, I just want to share what is in a few verses ahead of that. Genesis 3:4 says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You'll not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" And then the scripture goes on and says, "They took fig leaves and they sold them together to cover their nakedness." So they put forth this self-effort to cover up what they had done. And let's read Genesis 3, 8 through 10. "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.'" And of course, right away, God asked him how he knew he was naked, although God already knew the answer to that question. But we can see that to relieve their pain, they put forth some self-efforts to hide or cover themselves up and cover what they've done. Now, often people who have committed a crime or did something illegal at work or whatever, they'll get into this mass depression. And they do everything they can to cover up what they have done. And they tell lies, and then they have to remember the last lie they told so that they can add on to that lie. And it just escalates as people are actually really just masking depression because they have sinned and they've committed a crime and they're trying to hide themselves so they won't be discovered. This leads to self-inflation. And I'm not talking about a self-inflating raft, you know, that you float around in the sun. But the dictionary says it is acting or intending to portray oneself as more impressive, successful, or important than one really is. And so they think a whole lot of themselves because they do a whole lot of covering up and self-protecting. And the stories get bigger and bigger to cover up what they've done. It's a miserable place to live. And along with mass depression goes judgmental. People become very judgmental because they're judging everybody else because they don't want anybody to see what they did. So if they can constantly point the attention onto somebody else and say, "Look over there, look at what they're doing," then people aren't looking at what they're doing. Often have disorganized thoughts, increased activity. There can be weight gain, distractions. And actually, in this with this kind of depression, people don't need as much sleep. And there is always a hidden death threat with this. So let's go on. You're a good class this morning. I'm teaching instead of preaching. Neurotic depression is a prolonged emotional state of depression longer than necessary. It's a minor depressive disorder. The symptoms interfere with normal biological and social activities. The cause can usually be traced to an event or possibly the anticipation of an event coming up. Definitions of neurosis is a functional disorder in which feelings of anxiety, obsessional thoughts, compulsive acts, and physical complaints without objective evidence of disease in various degrees and patterns dominate a person's personality. And when we go to the psalm, we see this. The psalmist writes in Psalm 102. I'm going to start with verse 1 and 2, and then we'll pick it up with 3. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. And let's pick up with our verses on the screen. Psalm 102, 3 through 11. For my days have been consumed in smoke, and my bones have been scorched like a hearth. My heart has been smitten like grass and has withered away. Indeed, I forget to eat my bread because of the loudness of my groaning. My bones cling to my flesh. I resemble a pelican of the wilderness. I have become like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I have become like a lonely bird on a housetop. My enemies have reproached me all day long. Those who deride me have used my name as a curse. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath. For you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a lengthened shadow, and I wither away like grass. So in this state, there's a lot of self-criticism, anger, hopelessness, apathy, no pleasure, chronic fatigue, a lot of inability to make decisions and escape by sleeping. Sleeping is an escape for many people. But it was interesting as I was studying this in the Word, the Matthew Henry commentary says that it is often the lot of the best saints in this world to be so sorely affected. Even good people may be almost overwhelmed with their afflictions and may think they are going to faint under them. When our state is afflicted and our spirits are overwhelmed, it is our duty and interest to pray, and by prayer to pour out our complaints before the Lord. God gives us freedom to access Him. And He also gives us the liberty to pour our souls out to Him. And so we're able to unburden our souls to Him. And the psalmist, he begged God to notice. He was miserable. He said, manifest yourself for me. Not only hear me, but answer me. I need you, and I am in pursuit of deliverance. And the Lord says, in the day when I call, when troubles press me the hardest, we're to press hard on prayer to God. Any one of us can find ourselves in this mental, emotional state. And it isn't something to joke about or make fun of people and say, oh, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get going. You know, I've had so many people in my counseling office, and I know that if they could have pulled themselves up by the bootstraps and got going, they would have done it. That's what they want to do. That's why they're reaching out for help. So can we be a listening ear to those who are struggling with depression and not be judgmental and critical and pointing at them like they have done something wrong? If they've done something wrong and they're seeking God, God is going to let them know. Let God be the judge. The Holy Spirit's the one that speaks to our hearts. Sometimes the words that come out of our own mouth are the very words that crush their spirit even more. So this is a time of pay. Remember, it is the decade of the mouth, the new Hebrew year, 5780. We are beginning the decade of the mouth, and we must be aware of what we are speaking and what we are decreeing and what we are saying to people and over people, because words have power. The power of life and death is in the tongue, and we have prayed thousands of prayers. We have decreed thousands of decrees, and they are in the heavenlies, and this is the time that we can begin to call upon the things that we have prayed and see them manifest in the earth, because we are entering a new season in the church and in the church realm, and God is taking us to another level of understanding our authority. If we'll just grab a hold of it, church, we can be the change agent at our workplace. We can be the change agents in our community. We can be the change agents as we go into any place. It's the anointing. Are people talking to you more? Have you noticed that when you're out? It's like people seem to be friendlier. Maybe God made us friendlier. I don't know. But it just seems like people are talking more. And all of a sudden, they're telling you everything. It's like, TMI, you know. But you know it's the Lord. You know it's the Lord because He wants you to share what the blood of Jesus has done for you and how He has delivered and healed you and set you free. And God just sets us up for these divine appointments because we are the church and we are to make a difference. We are the salt and we are the light of the world. And Jesus gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. He didn't give you the power of the Holy Spirit so you can just brag about having the Holy Spirit. Right? He gave you the power of the Holy Spirit so you could heal the brokenhearted, set the captive free, and be Jesus' hands and feet wherever you go. You know, people say, here comes Jesus. I know that person. They're so full of Jesus. We're here to make God famous. And you know, that's what I loved about Nehemiah. That was the desire of his heart. That was the desire of Daniel's heart. We see so many servant leaders in the scripture where they served God faithfully. They served a king or people faithfully. But at the same time, God was so glorified that people knew that their God was the only God. Is that right? I get so excited. Are you excited this morning? Maybe I'm more excited than you. Hallelujah. We just have one. You're thinking, when is she going to be done talking about depression? Okay, we have one more. And that is psychotic depression. And that is a severe emotional state of depression. It's a major depressive disorder. There is disassociation from reality. They lose touch with reality and live in their own inner world. It is a person who exhibits extreme emotional affect, as well as their behaviors can be extreme, and there can be hallucinations and delusions. Psychotic depression, Psalm 38, 13 through 14. You got to remember, there is nothing new under the sun. And there is nothing that God has not given us a remedy for. Absolutely nothing. Psalm 38, 13 through 14 says, "But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute man who does not open his mouth. Yes, I am like a man who does not hear, and in whose mouth are no arguments." So there is no pleasure in this person's life. A lot of self-rejection. They're unresponsive. Normally, there's severe insomnia, weight loss, and there is a severe death threat. The psalmist said in verse 15, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God." And so he cried out, verses 13 and 14, that he's like a deaf man. He doesn't hear. He's like a mute man. He doesn't open his mouth. He has no arguments. And then the very next verse, he says, For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. You know, when you get down that low, the only thing you really have left to hope in is the Lord. You really don't have any place else to turn. And often it takes us to get to the bottom before we begin to realize how much God loves us and how much we need Him. Because we can't do it on our own. In Isaiah 61:3, and I'm going to ask praise team if they'll come on up, because we have one more song to sing. But Isaiah 61:3 talks about a spirit of heaviness. And when you do a study on this spirit of heaviness, which is something that is pretty common to all of us because it's fatigue. It's physical and mental fatigue. It can be grief and sorrow and heartache. It can be depression, discouragement, hopelessness. Guilt and shame and condemnation. We are usually our own worst condemner. This little voice. Should have done, could have done, if only. It's not a place to live. A lot of self-pity, poor me. Timidity and insecurity, sadness, loneliness, and isolation. Is what this spirit, remember, it's a spirit. Spirits get in our souls. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear gets in your soul and causes you to be paranoid and afraid of everything. Now we should have some healthy natural fears. Amen? If we didn't have them, we would not be here. We'd probably be dead. So we should have some natural healthy fears. But there are some extreme fears. God didn't give those to us. But we have to remember this is something spiritual. And Isaiah talks about the spirit of heaviness. Psalm 61:3 says, can you read it with me? To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So this garment of praise, the Hebrew word for praise in this verse is tehillah. It's a garment of tehillah, a garment of praise. Tehillah is a spontaneous praise. And when we choose to put on the garment of praise, we're saying to the enemy that we know the truth. That even though I'm weak today, my God is strong. Even though I am weak, Jesus Christ is strong. And as a matter of fact, when we are weak, he shows his strength. When we put on the garment of praise, we're refusing to give in to the lies of the enemy. And the enemy comes only to make us weak. He wants us to be too weak to handle what life throws at us. And all of us know that out of nowhere, we can get a curveball. Life will throw us a curveball. And that's often what I'll say. Oh, I didn't see that one coming, you know. And that happens. That's all a part of life. But how do we handle that? God says we're to handle that by putting on a garment of praise. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart always go to the Lord. The fruit of my lips should be giving thanks and praise to him. In the midst of it all, are we happy that it happened? Absolutely not. Are we upset? Yes, we're upset, but we're not going to let the devil win. We're not going to let the situation overtake us to the point that we are unable to stand. Because once we let the enemy in, he will wreak havoc. We see the havoc he has wrecked in the United States of America. Inch by inch, He has come in. Our strength comes from God alone. Amen. It comes from Him alone. Our lives come from God alone. We are totally dependent upon the Lord. We can be strong in the Lord, and we can put on our garment of praise. And so that's what we're going to sing about as we're getting ready to close here. Because in Him we are strong. We have His strength. We have His peace. And we have His joy, even in the midst of hardship and struggle. God never pulls that love away from you. He never jerks that joy away from you. He does not pull His strength from you. It's always there. Tell your neighbor, it's always there.
It's always there.
Sometimes we aren't struggling, but we're feeling tired. I've had several people over this last week tell me, I don't know what it is, but I'm just feeling so tired. They've called me and told me this. Several people, and a lot of them don't go to this church, because a lot of people call me for prayer that don't go to this church. And I'll pray with them because it's usually something that's been released in the atmosphere that's coming against us. When you start feeling that tiredness, it's physical and it's emotional, and it just feels like it's hanging on you. I believe that's what the spirit of heaviness is. When that comes on me, I start to pray in tongues. You know, I begin to pray in the spirit. And I start to sing. I don't need music to sing. I've got music inside of me.
Amen.
I just start to sing and praise the Lord and release that. Release a praise to the Lord. Tehillah is a spontaneous praise. It's a praise that, it's a song you make up and sing to Jesus. It's a song that's in your heart.
Right.
It's a song that's in your life. I often tell people it's like signing the greeting card. You know, somebody put a verse in the card, but then you write what's in your heart on the rest of that verse at the bottom of that card. And that's the part that we all like to read. It's like, what are they saying? And that's what it is when we spontaneously praise God. If you can't carry a tune, there's no excuse. You can say the words. God, I'm going to praise you. God, I'm not even going to let this heaviness stay here because it doesn't belong here.
Right.
It doesn't belong to me. And that's what we have to realize. It don't belong to you. You've got to get it off of you.
Yeah.
The devil will put anything on you. He'll just keep layering it on and layering it on. Pretty soon you have major depressive disorder because you just keep taking it on. No, we're not going to take it anymore.
That's right.
We're not going to take it.
That's right.
We don't want what you're trying to give us. We're giving it away. So many years ago when God began to give me the revelation on the spirit of Tehillah, the spirit of heaviness and putting on the garment of praise, I wrote this little song. And so I hope you enjoy it. I hope you'll stand up and dance around a little bit. Put on your garment of praise this morning. And you'll do that this week. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to do that this week.
I'm going to do that this week.
Tell him I'm going to praise the Lord.
I'm